From North State Public Radio, I'm Ava Noor Grove with your headlines for Wednesday, November 13th. Butte County could soon have millions of more dollars for emergency and other services. NSPR's Eric Adams says supervisors already started discussing how to spend the funds at yesterday's meeting.
Supervisors approved making room for $11 million in future tax revenue in this year's annual budget. Those funds would come from Measure H, which would impose a 1 cent sales tax in Butte County to fund public safety and library services. Preliminary election results show the measure passing. Andy Pickett, the county's chief administrative officer, spoke to the board.
Measure H was the result of the public wanting a voice in this situation. They resoundingly said that they wanted to keep and fund these services.
The sales tax would begin on April 1st and is expected to generate the $11 million for the remainder of the current fiscal year, which ends in July. Though the tax revenue isn't generated yet, the county can still begin using money from its current fund immediately. Later, it will be covered by the expected incoming funds. The county is looking to use the expected revenue to fill around 120 positions in fields like law enforcement, library services, probation services, and fire, with 34 of those being contracted CAL FIRE employees. The measure is showing success in early election results, with 67% of the votes being yes votes. Results are not considered official until the election is certified. That is expected to happen in early December. In Chico, I'm Eric Adams.
The city of Redding has severed its contract with local homeless aid organization No Boundaries Transitional Housing. The city has also filed a police report against the group. The report alleges the organization has mismanaged its finances, according to reporting from Shasta Scout. The organization has provided low-barrier emergency hotel lodging for individuals within the city over the last 2 years. The news outlet reports that in that time, the organization has been awarded over $1 million in state grants by the city. Now, an unknown number of individuals experiencing homelessness are being relocated to other hotels. City staff are unable to verify exactly how many people will be affected by the contract's termination, as No Boundaries is a grant-funded organization versus a city-run program. The current investigation into the organization's finances is active and ongoing. The director of the organization told Shasta Scout they would need to speak with their lawyer before providing comment. And in other news, renovations of the historic Bidwell Mansion have been delayed from a completion date next month to 2025. According to reporting from the Enterprise Record, builders ran into complications with renovations that have pushed back the reopening to visitors. Repairs include replacing the now over 20-year-old roof and fixing the woodwork and railings with historic recreations in order to preserve the mansion's historical roots and repainting the exterior. The paper reports the mansion is expected to reopen to the public by the end of spring. And finally, last Friday marked 6 years since the campfire sparked. It quickly became the deadliest wildfire in California's history. NSPR has been speaking with those working in recovery. Today, we hear from Terry Rubiolo, a Concha resident who provided food, clothes, and other necessities to her community in the wake of the fire. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with her about what she did at the time and how the needs have changed.
We were cooking dinners and had a small pantry for the mountain community for 3 years before the fire. And after the fire, we came out and just jumped right back in and have just gotten a lot bigger. We have done food. We've cooked food, which I'm not doing at the time. We have had clothes and household products and cars and trailers and things donated for campfire survivors. We're still in the process of trying to locate help for people because we still have people in cars and trailers that leak or things don't work. Growth has been small. Rebuilding's been little in Concow.
So what changes have you seen in your community since the fire?
There's always been a need. It's a low-income community, but there's a lot more of almost hoarding mentality that's hit the neighborhood. The fear of not having because there's so little available.
And when you say hoarding, does that look like food or like household goods or?
Food is the top of the list. Blankets, pillows, clothing, I would say is next. And then it's just stuff. You know, they, like I said, they're in a car, but they're collecting collectibles. It's like when they lost everything, they lost that part of them that gave them a solid foundation.
Well, what has worked? Are there things up there that have been working in the last 6 years?
Well, like I said, Tiny Pines has started building some replacement homes.
Tiny Pines, what is that?
It's a lady that actually used to come before the fire and share meals with us, and she's gotten permits from the county and plans that they've approved to help actually put a tiny home on a foundation. So she's been doing a lot of that for the community up there. Other than that, rebuilding hasn't been a lot of it, but that's a huge plus. It's a start. She's just overwhelmed because there's so many, because she's building some in Paradise and all over the place. So,
do you have any idea how many she's built?
I believe right now she's got maybe 7 or 8 going between Paradise and Concow. A couple of them are almost ready to finish, get their final inspection, but in different stages of building. But most of this happened in the last year. There just wasn't a lot before that.
So is the focus of recovery different now than it was 6 years ago when the fire had just happened?
In my area, no, because we had already had people that had spent most of their lives in trailers or little cabins that they had built and stuff like that. So that part of it is pretty much the same. The problem is now is that these same people that came back with a trailer to the property they left, that option is running out for them, and they don't know where they're going to go or what they're going to do.
Right, and that option's running out for them because of regulations that are, so county restrictions on occupation.
Yes.
Okay. So much of the attention has been on Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you like people to know about what's going on in Concow now or just anything?
That just because we're 6 years out doesn't mean we're anywhere close to being back to where we were.
Yeah.
Nowhere close. I hear quite often, well, you guys got so much money. No, we didn't. Well, it's been 6 years. You should be, over it. There's no getting over it. You can move on to a new phase of life, but there's no pretending that didn't happen. And 6 years into it, Concow, Yankee Hill, Big Bend, the smaller rural areas are still really struggling. It's really hard to get some help. So just be patient with us. And we're so grateful for the donations that still come in. And I know that there's disasters and hardship everywhere. But if, you got a spare blanket, trust me, we got people that can use it. Really, I'm just grateful that we still have a voice because it's been a quiet, soft voice. Like you said, Paradise is not a put down, has gotten a lot of publicity and funds and stuff, and it's just nice not to be forgotten.
That was Concow resident Terry Rubiolo speaking with NSPR's Ken Duvall. Rubiolo has been helping her community recover from the campfire for the past 6 years. And those are your headlines for Wednesday, November 13th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Ava Noor Grove.